Well, Merry Christmas, everyone, and welcome to my home. We decided this year to change the service around a bit and to bring you the message in the middle of the service and hear from my home. And in a few moments, we'll also sing a few more songs and light some candles together. And remember, after the service, if you'd like to receive communion, it's available in person at your campus, or for those of you at home, there will be an opportunity to participate online. You can look for the prompt, and there will also be a link on our homepage. And I would love to lead you through this beautiful sacrament together online. But I want to take a moment and share a message for you from God's Word. I'm actually sitting here in our family room at one of my favorite spots. And it's especially my favorite place on a cold day in front of the fireplace. It's also the place where we gather as a family and play with the grandkids, with the toys, and where we watch old movies. And here's my favorite, to take a nap. This is the nap spot, cuddled up with a blanket. And I've got a few of my favorite blankets with me to show you. In fact, this is my favorite blanket. Comes from Augusta National Golf Club. Isn't that pretty special? But just, I love it. It's the right weight. It covers every part, you know, and just, I don't know. It's my favorite. So, and then here's one that's around here. I don't use it much, but doesn't this look like a blanket Dino Rizzo would have? I'm just saying. So anyway, it's real soft, but I just can't bring myself to cover myself up in that. But here's the best one. Get ready. Dun, 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 dun. Now, when I need to be inspired, come on, you got a little go, Tigers. Do you feel the anointing just rising in the room right now? No, seriously, this was the gift someone gave us, and I love it, but I actually use the other blankets. But here's what I want you to hear. I've got a thought for you about blankets. Blankets say, I see you, and I want to somehow cover you and support you and comfort you. Now, listen to me. While I was in prayer a few months ago thinking about this service, I feel like I heard the Lord say, let the people of Highlands know that I desire to wrap them in a blanket of it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. So I actually started to study about blankets, both in the natural and in the spiritual. In fact, I read one study that the reason why blankets are so comforting is because of the physical pressure that they create when they're wrapped around us. And that when that pressure is on our bodies, it produces serotonin. And of course, serotonin is the key hormone that stabilizes our mood. Don't we need that right now? It gives us this feeling of well-being and happiness. In fact, my son Jonathan has this therapeutic blanket. It's very, very heavy. I don't like to have it on me, but man, they say the science is that when this blanket is wrapped around you, the weight of it releases serotonin and creates a sensation that produces the feeling of comfort. Now, isn't that interesting? Because I think all of us need a little bit of comfort right now. And that's why we made the theme for this year's Christmas service, Christmas at Highlands, comfort, comfort and joy. I don't know if you know this or not, but one of the names of the God we serve is Comforter. And I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. But I want to build this thought by reading you a portion of the Christmas story. You know the story. The Bible says that Mary and Joseph were traveling to Bethlehem to participate in a census. And so it required them to go back to the place where their ancestors were from. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 4, that Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. Watch this. And she wrapped him in strips of cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And then it says it again in verse 12, which that's always interesting to me when the Bible repeats itself. Verse 12, that this will be a sign to you. It's a sign that you'll find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, it's interesting to me that the Bible says it'll be a sign, because a sign is something The Bible's saying, hey, you need to pay attention to this. This is something for you to look for. This is important. It's a sign that Jesus was wrapped in cloths. Some translations say swaddling cloths. A swaddling cloth were actually wasn't a full blanket. It was actually strips of cloth that they would wrap around the baby. It was designed to protect the baby, to keep their arms and legs tight, to keep them from hurting themselves, so they wouldn't scratch themselves or harm themselves. It also simulated the feeling of still being in the womb, which felt like a safe place for that baby. Some also believe that swaddling bands or swaddling cloths were marked, so it had the name, maybe Hodges or whatever. It put the name to identify whose baby it was. I think that's so powerful. So let me say it this way. Mary wrapped Jesus in a blanket to keep him from harming himself, to give him the sense of protection, like being in the womb, to let him know that he was safe, and to make sure he knew who he belonged to. So think of it this way. Mary wrapped Jesus in a blanket to comfort him, and then the Bible says that we're supposed to notice that that's a sign. I like the way the Message paraphrase says that verse. It says that to you and me, hey, this is what you're supposed to look for. So this is what I want us to look for this Christmas. This is what you're supposed to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket lying in a manger. Now, some of you might think, well, Chris, Jesus didn't need to be comforted. He's God. So let me teach you something in theology. In theology, there's what's called the doctrine of identification. Simply means that even though Jesus was 100% fully God, Jesus had to go through every aspect of humanity to be as a human so he could identify with us, to understand us. So he went through life, relationships, betrayal, pain, joy, hunger, temptation, happiness, everything, yet without sin, so he could identify with us, so he could understand how you and I feel. And by the way, that's what qualifies him to be your best friend. Now watch this. And then the first human experience he would ever have. So if he was identifying with humanity, the first human experience he would ever have is that he was wrapped in a comforter. And could it be that his first human experience was being comforted so that he could understand it, and so he could comfort us through the things we would face in our lives? Could it be that he had to experience it so he could give it? And it gets better. Not only was Jesus comforted by his mother, Mary, on that day he was born, but then at the end of his life, on the night before he would go to the cross, the Thursday night before Good Friday, Jesus is at the Last Supper with his disciples, and the whole conversation was how he would leave earth and send the Comforter. In John 14, 16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter that he, the comforter, may abide with you forever. In other words, Jesus said, I've been comforting you all this time while I've been on earth, but now I'm going to leave and I'm going to give you another comforter who will be with you forever. And of course, Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. By the way, Jesus' favorite description of the Holy Spirit was comforter. So he starts his life being comforted, and he finished his life on earth giving us a comforter. Let me say it this way. The blanket that comforted Jesus then points to the one who wants to comfort you now. And I think there are so many of us, especially in this year, that need to experience that comfort. For so many of us, this has been quite a year, wouldn't you agree? Not just the virus, but all the things that happened this year, jobs, school, missed opportunities, weddings, graduations, relational mix-ups, health issues, emotional issues, financial issues, marriage, kids. And here's what you need to know. There is a person who wants to comfort you now. And today I want to give you an invitation to get to know that person, the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, so many people only know God the Father. They understand God the Father. We all have a Father. We understand Jesus the Son. There's so many stories about him in the New Testament. But most people, even many Christians, are afraid of or don't understand the person of the Holy Spirit, or some translations say the Holy Ghost. I mean, come on, I'm almost a little afraid of a ghost, right? So we'll only say his name or sing his name in a hymn, but most people don't know the person of the Holy Spirit. Sort of like in my home, we have, of course, like probably like you, on the master bedroom, it's decorated with a comforter. You have it there. It's beautiful. Some say it's for looks, not for use. In fact, just about 4 or 5 months ago, Tammy felt like we needed a new comforter. This happens regularly, by the way. She likes to change it up. And you know, of course, man, when we see this big fluffy blanket, man, you think about diving in that bad boy. Let's go. This looks great. And of course, you men know what I'm talking about. The thing disappears when it's time to go to bed. And if you ever go in there at night, it's all rolled up and put in a corner somewhere. And you think, I wanted to get in the comforter. And that's when the spouse, your spouse, your wife will say, well, honey, it's for looks, not for use. And I found out, by the way, since then, there's a lot of things in my home that are for looks, not for use. Things like guest towels. I wiped my hand the other day on the guest towel. Tammy says, don't use that. That's for our guests. Well, I think there are a lot of people who treat the Holy Spirit that way. I think there are a lot of people who the comforter is, he's just for looks, not for use. Now, you need to know this. The Holy Spirit isn't just some fancy word to sing in a doxology or in a hymn. He's a person, someone you can know. He can be a functional, important part of your life. I like the benediction found in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. It says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that part, and the love of God the Father, you know that part, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I want you to know that part. I want you to get to know the person of the Holy Spirit. He's the comforter. And here's what will happen when you do. You'll realize that the Holy Spirit will help you and can help you in every part of your life. The Bible says it this way in Galatians 5:25. It says, since we are living by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading, watch this, in every part of our lives. God puts his Spirit in us for every part of our life, for direction, for confirmation, for warning. He'll show you what to do. I remember how much I leaned on the person of the Holy Spirit. In the worst year of my life before 2020 was 1999. I was in the darkest place. I'd gotten really depressed. I really didn't know what was going on in my life. And our church always started the new year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. So here we are in the 21 days of prayer and fasting in January of 2000. And I just kind of went all in with God. And that's something a lot of you need to do. I just said, God, I'm so desperate. This year was so bad. I need something more than human ability and human power. And I'll never forget, some of you know this story, on the 17th day of that fast, the 21 days, starting January 2000, I had a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, he spoke to me about planting a church in Birmingham, Alabama. And of course, the rest is history. I'm so grateful that I had him in my life to pull me out of really one of the darkest times in my life. And some of you are in that dark place. And Isaiah 30, verse 21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That's the Holy Spirit. And not only direction, watch this, but power. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which by the way, this is the last things that last line that comes out of Jesus' mouth before he goes into heaven, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And I think we're living in an age where we need the power of God more than ever. I don't want us to be a church that doesn't know and experience the power of God. You know, we're getting ready to have our 20th anniversary as a church. And our church was built on prayer, and it was built on the belief that the Holy Spirit was as relevant today as he was in the book of Acts. But listen to me, we can't forget that. So next year, I'm going to bring messages and series around, several of them, around the person of the Holy Spirit. In fact, we're even going to do a verse-by-verse study through the book of Acts. And I'm believing for an outpouring of his power, his miracles, and the comfort that a lot of you need right now. I was reading about this family who had a little child who was attached to his blanket, his security blanket. And they get attached to them. And a lot of times when it's time for them to give it up, it's hard to get that blanket from that little child. And I heard about this family. This is so funny to me. They used this technique. And that is that instead of taking it away, they just cut off a little bit. One day at a time. So just get the scissors and cut the corner off. And then slowly just till all that was left was just this much, to which the child didn't want it anymore. So just little by little, wean them off of the comforter, making it smaller and smaller where they didn't want it anymore. Now, that's probably not a bad thing to do with your child in reality, because you really don't want an adult walking around with a blanket. But I think it's happened in the church. I think little by little, we've stopped relating to God. We don't know the person of the Holy Spirit. And then we get to a year like 2020, and we're away from God and away from church, and we're discouraged, and we don't know the person of the Holy Spirit. We've been weaned off of his comfort. For some of us, we said, you know, God, I got this. I think I can handle this. And here you are at the end of this year feeling more helpless and hopeless than ever before. Many of you feel that way, especially this year. You feel without a blanket. You feel exposed and unhealthy and even sad. Now listen to this. Ezekiel prophesied that there would be a generation who would be uncovered. Listen to this verse in Ezekiel 16, verse 4. It says, as for your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, so you didn't sever your ties from the world, nor were you washed in water or cleansed, so you didn't get saved. You didn't let Jesus forgive you. You were not rubbed with salt. Watch this. Nor were you wrapped in swaddling cloths. The Bible prophesies that there would be a generation who were not wrapped or comforted. They were uncovered, exposed by the elements. But you don't have to be. You can know the comforter. And that's my Christmas prayer for you this year. In fact, I want to give you an invitation to take the journey with us at Church of the Highlands in 2021. The way we say it is, give us a year of your life, whether you're here in person or still watching online, and let's take the journey and explore the Bible and get to know the person of the Holy Spirit. Give us a year, go all in, do everything we do, get in the groups, go through the growth track, go through the messages, and I promise you that you'll experience the comfort and joy that only the Holy Spirit can give. And it will be a sign unto you that the blanket that comforted Jesus then points to the one who wants to comfort you now. Let's bow for prayer. Father, only you really know what every person is going through, whether they're in one of our services or online. God, the loneliness, how they feel exposed, how they feel like they're uncovered. And I pray right now, Lord, that they would open their hearts to you, that they would know the grace of Jesus, the love of the Father, and know the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you would give people the courage to take not only the steps that are needed today to know you better, but also into 2021 as we dive deeper into a relationship with you that is meaningful and real. And I pray, Lord, right now, wherever they are, whatever they're going through, that you would comfort them in this moment. You are the God of all comfort. And I pray, God, that you would touch them and let them sense your presence and your power right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, before we light candles together, we're going to sing a few of our favorite Christmas songs together. But let's not just sing. I want all of you to participate and worship Jesus with us in this moment. And here's what will happen if you do. And that is, you're going to experience his presence right there where you are. And that's my prayer, that you'll not only enjoy these songs, but that you will feel God's comfort and joy in this moment as you worship him. Oh, come, let us adore him.
Continue to worship as we sing this next song. Oh, come, all you faithful. Let's sing it together tonight.
Come ye, oh, come ye to bed. Let's stand together as we continue in worship.
His name forever. His name. Jesus, you're greater. Here we surrender. You are the Savior, Lord of all. Be lifted higher as we bow lower. You are the Savior, Creator. Come on, we sing this together.
Right now, he deserves it. So awesome. Be seated for just a moment, please. In just a few minutes, we'll light candles together. It's good to see you. I sure do love you. Thank you for joining us this year. Our team has worked so very hard. In fact, they've been working on this for several months, and then at the beginning of December is when we went over to the BJCC to record the orchestra so that they could be 6 feet apart and all the challenges of the year. By the way, hadn't the team done a great job? Will you give them a big hand? They're just the best. The best. And we love, honestly, we love putting together something that makes you laugh and entertains you and gives you something to attend at Christmas time. But if I'm honest with you, our greatest goal is for you to have an experience, not even with the church, but with God, that there would be moments, maybe it just happened in worship, where you would just, you really don't know, but you know that God's there. He's present and he's real. You know, the Bible says, in fact, Jesus said in John 12, when I am lifted up, if I be lifted up, I will draw people unto myself. And I really believe that. I think there's something about the presence of God. Just, you know, you just know it's there and that makes you long for God. That's my story, actually. I'd been in church my whole life when I got invited to a Christmas service, 1978. And I can't tell you what the message was, but I vividly remember the worship. And I felt myself being drawn toward God. Of course, when they gave the invitation, I didn't respond because I'd been in church my whole life and I knew what they was going to do to you next and I wasn't going to go to no little room. You know what I'm saying? And so anyway, but I went home that night just still thinking about the lack of relationship that I had with God. I was so religious, but I honestly had nothing in the tank about really, I wasn't in love with God whatsoever. And I just remember how I was drawn, and I got on my knees in my bedroom and threw my arms across my bed. Christmas 1978, 42 Christmases ago, and I gave my life to Jesus, heart and soul. And honestly, it's the best decision ever made in my entire life. So I get at Christmas time, and I think about I think about not only are we celebrating Jesus' birthday, but I'm celebrating my spiritual birthday too. And I never like to have a service where we gave you a bunch of songs and a message and all the things without giving you a chance, perhaps, to make this your spiritual birthday as well. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you feel drawn to God. Maybe you are a Christian, but something happened this year and you just find yourself so far away from Him, but you're drawn. And I'll just let you know that He has His arms open wide. In fact, right now the Bible says that He stands at the door of your heart and He knocks. And if you'll let Him in, He says, I'll eat with you. It's a relational term of what we can be in relationship. And that's His desire. Not religion, but relationship. You might say, well, what would I have to do for that to be a reality? The Bible says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, in other words, give Him the control of your life, and then believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you're saved. And I'd like to lead you through that prayer if you'd like. Why don't you bow your heads, everybody, close your eyes. I'm not going to have you raise your hand, stand up, or come down to the front. Even for those that are watching online, wherever you are around the world, if this is you, you can pray this prayer out loud right now. Just whisper it. Forget about every person around you and just say these words. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for paying for my sins. I receive it. And I ask you to be the Lord of my life. Take over my life. Everything. Forgive me. Save me. Change me. Make me who you want me to be. Now make these confessions. Say, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died and rose again. And today I put my faith in you. In your name I pray. Amen. And amen. How about a hand clap for everybody who just prayed that prayer? Would you do that? Come on, really encourage them. Congratulations. And if you did, we're in this kind of this COVID reality where we're not passing out things or collecting things from people. But I really want to know if you prayed that prayer. It means so much to me personally. And I promise you, we won't abuse it in whatsoever. No one's going to call you or come by your house or anything. But if you just prayed that prayer, please, I'm begging you, text the word commit. I just committed my life to Christ to the number 74,000. Just the word commit. And what it'll do, it'll give you a prompt to give us a little bit of information so I can send you your next steps, and that's all. But I would love for you to have what's next in your hands so you can know. I'm a pastor, and I really care not just about this, but the next step. So let me do that, if you would, please. All right, locate your candles. I see them all over the, we put them under your chair. And so if you don't have one in your hand yet, go ahead and grab one of our candles. Normally, we would pass buckets with the candles, but we're not doing that for obvious reasons. Normally, we would also give you a chance to give in this moment and pass a container. We're not going to do that either for obvious reasons. But if you'd like to give, a lot of people come prepared to give. It's not our expectation, but it is an opportunity. You can give on your way out. There are some containers, or you can give through the digital methods that are on the screen. So we are in a season called Legacy where we're helping a lot of people. I always say people that are hurting and people that have never heard. So if you'd like to give, just as always, obey what God shows you to do. But I do want to pray over it and pray over the moment we're getting ready to have. Would you stand? By the way, if you want to go to the chapel after the service for communion, that's kind of a self-service. It's just the elements are there, and it's just you and God, or you and your family and God. But if you'd like me to lead you through communion, I made a little video that you can go under our website or our app, and it's just 4 or 5 minutes where I'll lead you through communion. Just get the elements and then maybe watch it later, okay? All right. Let's pray. Father, what we give right now in this moment, we give because we're so in love with you. We're asking you to help a lot of people with what we give. God, we're sowing it into those that are hurting and to those that have never heard. And Lord, more than all of that, it is an expression of our worship to you. You're a great God, and we love returning this portion to you. Father, we pray in this moment that you would minister to people in the beauty of candle lighting, God. Speak to people, refresh people, and comfort people in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said a good amen and amen. John, you got a candle for me. We're going to send some ushers down your row so that we can light them safely. And together, let's sing Silent Night together. Here we go. All sing it together. Final thought before we go. You know, I think before we started lighting candles, the darkness of this room kind of represents what 2020 has been like for so many people. Just life in general, you know, can get dark sometimes. But how many know it doesn't take long, if you'll allow it, for the light of God to make even the darkest of places beautiful again? Can I hear a good amen, everybody? And here we are, man, tough year, but we made it. We're at the end of 2020, stepping into a brand new year. And how many of y'all know 2021 doesn't even have to work that hard? Isn't that right, everybody? But I just want you to know I love you, and I promise you something. This is my prayer for you, that if you'll go all in with God, give him everything, allow his light to shine in you, even the darkest of dark can be beautiful again. And that's my prayer for every single one of us in Jesus' name. And everybody said a good amen. You can blow out your candles. God bless you. I love you so much. Merry Christmas, everybody.